We're Pastor George and Terry Pearson's. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. And you know, we're talking about this week, last week, the Southwest Believers Convention. And what an amazing, amazing meeting that was. Faith-filled meeting, people hearing the Word of God and their lives absolutely being changed. And today, we're hearing from one of the speakers, Keith Moore. Oh my gosh, we appreciate Keith so much. And Brother Copeland talks about how he is a consummate, high-caliber teacher of the Word of Faith. Praise God.
A lot of people think that the Word of Faith is only about finances or only about healing. Yeah. But I want you to know, faith is for every part of our lives, including the area of our souls, for the brokenhearted, for those that are bound up in grief, for those that are hurting. I'm telling you, the Word has an answer for all of that. Jesus is the answer. And Brother Keith expounds on that today to minister to the needs of our souls. Pay close attention, not only for yourself, but for others that may need you to minister to them in the future.
In Psalm 34, verse 17. He said, the righteous cry and the Lord hears them. And what else? Delivers them out of all their troubles. Have you been made righteous in Christ by your faith in Jesus? Then when you cry out for help, the Lord hears you, and then what happens? Delivered out of all your troubles. Verse 18, the Lord is nigh or near unto them that are of a broken heart, and saves such as be of contrite spirit. We need to distinguish between broken heart and humility. Because we don't use the term broken heart in the terms of contriteness and humility like some of the King James scriptures do. When we say broken heart, we mean you're not in a good way. Your heart is broken. But God is close to His people that are hurting. You don't have to try to find Him.
Amen.
He's there. He's ready to help you. Now, broken heart is nothing to be made light of. I think all of us that have lived for any length of time have experienced this. And it is torturous. It can be disabling. And sadly, a lot of Christians go years and years and years with a broken heart. And it should not be. Thank you for those two amens. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him. Again, he's talking about out of them all. How many afflictions?
All.
How many?
All.
How many?
All.
Broken hearts?
All.
Affliction too?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly what he was talking about. That was the previous verse, broken heart. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. This is prophecy to the master. But it all goes together. All of this is not only prophecy concerning the master, but it applies directly to all who are his. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. Now, desolation and brokenheartedness go together. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. The only way you can be desolate and be his people is by refusing to trust in him. Because, am I reading scripture?
Yes.
None of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Desolate has to do with being broken and hopeless and helpless and defeated. Not God's will for you. Not God's plan for me. And he has made such a costly, paid such a costly price so that you and I wouldn't have to be. Come on, somebody say, it is not God's will for me to be brokenhearted. It is not God's will for me to be desolate. I am the redeemed of the Lord. And I say so. The NIV of that verse we just read in Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those that are crushed in spirit. The enemy is always looking to how and where he can do this. Jesus told Peter, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Well, sifting removes one thing from another. And he wants to sift the faith out of you. Notice what the master said, but I have prayed for you that what? That your faith, so you wouldn't be stripped of your faith. You wouldn't be removed of your faith. One of the saddest things on a planet is a believer that's lost their faith.
It's true.
And in this life, you're going to experience some things. And it's not all going to be fun. And there'll be a lot of things you don't understand why or why not. And you'll have multiple opportunities to question. And you can ask God a question, but don't question God. Do you know what I mean by that? Especially the older you get and the more the Lord has done for you. It is not okay for a mature Christian to shake a fist and go, why, God? Why? You are way over the line. What you're showing is you question his character. Not just questioning what's going on. You question his integrity. You're questioning his love. You're questioning his mercy and his faithfulness. And that is not okay. That is not permitted. That is not allowed. Especially for those that have had 10,000 prayers answered. As a teenager, I read the book of Job. Y'all are laughing. But when I read the book of Job, I would always think, now the big question here is why did this happen to Job? And the Lord's quickened to me this question, this statement. He said, no, Keith, you're not seeing it. The issue is not why it happened. The issue is what you do when you don't know why it happened. That's the big trial of your faith. When you don't understand. When you don't know. And that's why Jesus didn't try to explain it. When that big crowd left him and all of his partners in that place left him for preaching that sermon on drink my blood and eat my flesh. He didn't say, no, wait a minute. You misunderstood me. Let me explain. No, he made it worse in some ways. Yeah. But what he was saying, he turned to the disciples. He said, you going to leave too? Why? Because if they had trusted him, they would have stayed.
Yes. Right.
If you have to understand it fully to stay, you don't trust.
Yeah, it's good.
Let me tell you what will get you through the worst places in life. There'll be some spots. You look up through your tears, through the pain, through your confusion, through your questions, and you say, Lord, I don't understand this. I don't know why. I don't know why not. But I know this. You're a good God. You're a good God. You're a faithful Father. You've never lied. You've never failed anybody. You've never let anybody down. I trust you. I trust you in life. I'll trust you with my last breath.
Yes.
I'm going nowhere.
That's right.
Amen. I'm with you.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Because we just know in part.
That's right.
There's been so many things just in my 42, 3 years of ministry that I didn't understand. And sometimes 15 years later, the Lord showed me something, I'd go, oh. I think for the first 100 years in heaven, that's going to be us. Every so often we'll go, oh. No wonder. Oh, okay. I see it now. But you know what you will see? 100 times out of 100 that God was faithful. 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 He was more merciful than you would have asked him to be. You just didn't know what was going on. He's a good God. Oh, come on, somebody say, he's a good God. He's a good God. I want you to tell him with your voice, lift up your hand, say, Father, I trust you. I believe in you. You're a good God. I will always believe it. And you're a faithful Father to me. Oh, hallelujah. That will get you through the worst places in life. That's what Romans, was it Romans 3 talking about when it says, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, that you may be justified when you are condemned. People are condemning God now. They are in this world. They're saying he's not fair. Right? They're saying all manner of things. But when it is shown and when it is revealed, every mouth will be stopped. Huh? And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Are y'all listening? And everybody everywhere will see and know God is faithful. He is the faithful God that keeps covenant and mercy to 1,000 generations. Oh, God's a good God. God's a good God. Hallelujah. Go to Psalm 147. Psalm 147, 3. Verse 1. Let's start with verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, for it's good to sing praises to our God. It is pleasant, and praise is comely. That means makes you look good. Huh?
There you go.
You know it's a fact.
Yeah.
Being all sourpuss makes you ugly.
Yeah, true.
It improves your looks like 80%. Just by putting a smile on that thing, is that right? And showing some praise and some light. Verse 2, the Lord does build up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He has done that. He is doing that. And he will continue to do that. And look at verse 3. He does what? He heals the broken in heart and does what? Binds up their wounds. Say that out loud. The Lord heals the broken in heart. And he binds up their wounds. The basic English says he makes the brokenhearted well and he puts oil on their wounds. Well, it's the anointing. It's the anointing that destroys the heavy, the hard yoke and removes the heavy burden that crushes and presses until one is brokenhearted or feeling desolate. But even though the enemy has worked on crushing somebody's spirit and breaking their heart for decades, a manifestation of the anointing and power of God can shatter 40 years of devil's work in a moment. The devil's scared of the anointing, and that's why he works so hard to strip you of your faith. Because he knows you got to have the catalyst of faith. Mix faith with the power. Somebody say, he heals the brokenhearted. He heals the brokenhearted. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Go to Isaiah 53. And I know some of you may think you know this, but this is Isaiah 53, but I assure you, there are things here you haven't seen yet. That was weak. So help your neighbor, look at him and say, you don't know it all. Okay, all right. Isaiah 53:3. That was a surprise to somebody. Isaiah 53:3, are you there? He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Now you'll find that here and in the next verses, the word sorrow and grief is in numerous other places in the same King James Bible translated sickness or and pains. But it's also translated grief and sorrow. It covers both. Because they're actually connected and overlap. When you're sick and in a bad way, it tends to pull people in a bad place mentally and emotionally. And on the other side of it, there have been people that there was nothing wrong with their body and they grieved so bad they died. Grief is a killer. But Jesus bore it all. Oh, somebody say hallelujah. Read the next verse. Surely he has borne my griefs. Yes, it includes sickness. We know that because Matthew 8, the Holy Spirit's translated it that way in the New Testament, sickness and pain. But it also still means griefs and sorrow. Look it up for yourself. Surely he has borne, I want you to say it out loud, surely he has borne my griefs and carried my sorrows. See, just like he bore your sicknesses and carried your pains, he also bore your griefs and carried your and my sorrows. So we could what? Carry them again? We know that with sickness and disease. There's a grave error in the body of Christ. Is everybody awake? Are you listening?
Yes.
Grave error. And it is all this talk about being broken. We're all just broken people. Have you heard anything like this? Many of our modern songs have this language in them. We're all just broken. Now, if you're talking about the words in Scripture that have to do with being contrite and humble in heart, that's a good thing. It's the humble get the grace. But if you're talking about being damaged goods, nuh-uh. Y'all with me or not? No, sir. No, ma'am. I ain't broke. And I'm not broken. And I'm not damaged goods. I'm redeemed. I'm healed. Made whole. Made right. Made good. And full of the goodness and blessing of the Lord. And anything that had been broken, can God fix it? Can He? Can God heal a broken heart? Can He? Can He? Or do you have to go your whole life emotionally scarred? There's people everywhere, church-going people, they talk about it, they sing about it, they cry about it, and they say, we're all just broken people. Well, speak for yourself. I understand if you were broken. You were an old sinner. But now you are saved. Hallelujah. I'm not an old sinner anymore. And I'm not broken. I said, I'm not broken. I'm not just nitpicking words. I'm talking about a mentality. I'm talking about beliefs. And I'm talking about going year after year after year, being emotionally troubled, not free from the past, not free from hurts of the past, all going into bouts of depression for weeks at a time because you just remembered what happened 20 years ago. This is not okay. I said, this is not okay. It's not okay because Jesus took that. He took it and He bore it. We do not have a partial redemption. Jesus went to the cross, spirit and soul and body, and He redeemed us, spirit and soul and body. I am completely redeemed.
It's also environments like this where you pull yourself away from everything else, all the other distractions, where God is able to get a hold of you about certain things. And so this is always an opportunity for us to get filled up and to go home with new direction, new energy, new excitement.
We got to be unafraid and unashamed. They got to see more power on your side than it is on the world's side.
I believe in the power of God every day. I don't wait for crisis moments to draw on power. Power is for everyday life.
I'm not going to be depressed and crushed another day in my life because He did it. He went through it. He bought it. He paid for it. And I now have the peace that passes understanding, keeping my heart and my mind through Christ Jesus.
Don't let grief destroy your life. Don't let sickness destroy your life. Yeah. Not when Jesus has done what He's done to get freedom and deliverance and help and health and life and happiness to you. So thankful for that message from Brother Keith. Now, it really helps to go back and hear the whole message. And you can do that by going to kcm.org. In fact, you can watch Brother Keith and all the great messages from the Southwest Believers Convention and hear them over and over and over again to feed your faith on those things that Jesus has done for us and how to activate it. In fact, if you need prayer, We have a prayer line that you can call, and the information is right there on the screen. You can talk with someone who's taught and prepared and ready in faith to pray for you and help you be free of any kind of oppressive, depressive, or grief that's tried to grip your life.
And we're making available to you this week the book that Gloria and I wrote called The Power to Prosper in Troubled Times. And this book was really birthed out of a desire to see you prosper no matter what's going on, no matter what's happening in the economy. We're not moved by the economy. The things that are taking place right now or at any time where the economic system is concerned run contrary to the kingdom of God's system. So this book talks about that, and it also talks about prosperity in every realm of our lives, spirit, soul, body, financially, socially, in every way. And it's putting the spiritual laws that govern prosperity into action, and so you can walk in the increase that God has available to you.
You know that prosperity is not just about money, but there's a lot that's tied into it, because the peace of mind that goes with having enough is a blessing of the Lord. But it's also so that we can help others and reach out to others. Now, the price in the United States is $16.99, information there on your screen. But if you live outside the United States, the information for your book and how you can order is on the screen for you right now. It's our privilege. Now, you know, George, I wanted to say something else about this book. I love the way it's written. It's written into short chapters that you can do a chapter a day, which is 2.5 to 3 pages, like a devotional. Or you can just read right through and feed your faith about the prosperity of God, as the scripture says, not only for your finances and for your body, but also for your mind. I think the Lord wants us well, George.
He does. Spirit, soul, and body. That's right.
And that's why we do everything that we do here at Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Don't forget, you can go back and watch all of the Southwest Believers Convention at kcm.org. And you can put on your calendar the next year's Southwest Convention.
I'm looking forward to that.
July 28th through August the 2nd. And don't forget, it's for teenagers, for children, for young adults, outreaches. So many things happen during that convention. So join us again tomorrow, and we'll give you another bite from the Southwest Convention.
That's right.
But remember this, God loves you.
We love you. And Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland want to thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. To learn more about Kenneth Copeland Ministries and how we can help you grow in faith, check out our website for free content and resources available to you on kcm.org.